We want to welcome each one of you that joined us on the webcast today. Wonderful thing about our Lord, He can be with you in your home or wherever you're listening, and He can be here with us at the church building. And I pray that you'll sense His presence, that you'll be blessed as we spend this time together. Father, may the Spirit of the living God be our teacher. May He be honored and praised and uplifted. Father, I pray that each person that is listening, You might speak to them through the music, through the prayers, through the message. Lord, You know our hearts. You know our needs. And Father, I pray that today You'll come in Your mighty power, Your mighty wisdom, Your grace, and meet those needs. In the name of our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning for our hymn song today, for our hymn sing. Let's do America the Beautiful. And I'm going to do this a little bit differently today. Brenda has taken a much well-deserved time off, and so we'll do this one a cappella, and hope you enjoy it. And sing along with me, America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plains, America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim's feet, who stern in passion stress, a thoroughfare for freedom's beat, across the wilderness, America, America, God shed His grace on thee. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy goal refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriots' dreams that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Good morning. Welcome to Sunday, June the 28th. I have a few announcements for you I'd like to share with you. First, let me also extend congratulations to Lauren and Tom Kruhl for the birth of their daughter, Whitney Margaret Kruhl. unless the proud grandparents are David and Stacy Talley. So this great big applause for that. The deacons want to extend an invitation to the law enforcement in our area as an appreciation and a show of appreciation by presenting a meal to them or supplying a meal for them. And for all the officers of the Oakboro Police Office, Stanley County Sheriff's Office, and the Highway Patrol assigned to this particular area, all those officers will be invited to a full lunch on a drive-through basis. It will be barbecue chicken, and the meal will be served by drive-through, as I said, on Saturday, July the 18th, and it will be starting from 11 o'clock until 3, and here at Barbie's Grove. So, as I said, it'll be a drive-through only. We'll also need some cakes, and I appreciate the cakes if we could get some cakes by July the 17th. So you'll know, we're going to probably be looking at somewhere around 130 plates. That's the way we've kind of got it figured out right now, so around 130 plates. Let's talk about Bible school. Bible school in our area this time around, it's going to certainly take on a different look than ever. But the Bible school this year will be Sunday, July the 5th, from 4 to 6 p.m. And all the literature, the crafts, the snacks will be handed out, and it's been prepared into bags. I am told by Erin and her crew that she's got 190 bags already prepared to give out. So, folks, you need to ask somebody to come and be here with us on the July the 5th. There will be instructions also for an online study where the people can use that for each day. There'll be 5 days involved in this package. There'll also be an adult package that will be given out. Study books will be available for handout at that time to all adults. There'll be a craft available for each day, also provided for you. But I want to say a special thank you to Erin and Grant and all the crew that did this. A lot of work has gone into this behind the scenes that we'll never see, but God did, and God understands, and God blesses. But you be sure you say thank you to what they've done. As I said, this Bible school is totally different from anything that we've ever done, but God will bless it, and let's pray for them and call somebody and bring somebody. That completes the announcements that I have. Let's now go to our prayer request that I have before me. Shirley Morton, I talked with her today, and her tests were delayed, but she will have to have them done in the future. Let's keep her in our prayer. Let's continue to pray for Anna Keplinger. She's doing much better. I talked to her dad today, and he said she's doing much better. Eva Ann Howard is doing much better, too, with her sight. She had some issues and some problems with after cataract surgery, but she is doing much, much better now. I talked with her yesterday. Cynthia Yowl is doing much better as well. Talked to Betty today, and she is doing much better, and so let's have a praise report for her. I also like to have a praise report for Donna and myself. We got good results from our tests that we had, and we thank God for that, and we give him all the glory, all the glory. Let's continue to pray for Terry and Erlene Burris. Terry is experiencing a lot of vertigo problems. He's having a hard time walking in the some mornings, Erlene is telling me. Let's also pray for Erlene. This week was her last chemo test, and you know what chemo does sometimes. It really makes you sick, and it's hard to deal with. But we're praising God for her that she's getting along very well right now. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our nation and the coronavirus, those that are directly affected by the coronavirus. Let's continue to lift up, and let's pray for Barbie's Grove Church, as we are experiencing things that we never thought we'd do. The pastor said just a while ago, and he's exactly right, we never thought for one moment that we'd be talking about 12 services here that we're giving you on the web, and never thought that we'd be going this far and doing this much, but we are, and God's in control, and it's his mercy is upon us all. But let's continue to do that, and let's also pray for our Bible school coming up and for all the effort that's gone into that. That's all the prayer request I have at this time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you for another Lord's Day that you have allowed us to come together by means of the website. And Lord, I know there's those out there listening today that doesn't even go to Barber's Grove. And I pray for them and I say thank you, Lord, for them. And I thank you, Lord, for our church and for our willingness and our team, Lord, who comes together each week. We continue to pray for them. We pray for Anna Keplinger as she is recuperating from the fall and the broken ribs. Eva Ann, as her eyesight is much improving, we thank you for that praise report for her, as well as Cynthia. Thank you for the good report that you gave Donna and for me. And for Terry Burris, we pray for his vertigo problem, Lord. We lift him up to you and we pray for him. And Miss Earlene, as she continues to battle cancer, we pray for our nation. Our nation, Lord, is under attack. And Lord, I pray for it, Lord. We're at war, and Satan is in control of that war right now. But Lord, you're in control of it all. And Lord, we know that he'll only go as far as you're going to allow him to go. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for soon the battle will be over. And we pray, Lord, for Barber's Grove. We lift it up to you as we assemble together each week. And Lord, we want our message to go out that, Lord, we love you and we trust you and we place our faith in you because, Lord, we know you're in control. Lord, we pray for our Bible school. While we're not doing a Bible school like usual, it's a Bible school and it gives us an opportunity to witness to those who would not be able to be here otherwise. And we thank you, Lord, for all those who had a part in the Bible school this year. Now, Lord, we ask you now bless this service as we continue on today on the web. We pray for our pastor. We pray for Kathy. We thank you for Wes, Lord, as he's in his place, Lord. We pray for Brenda. She's away on vacation. We lift her up to you and we ask for traveling mercy for her. And now, Lord, as we go forward, we're going to be very, very careful, Lord, to acknowledge you as an awesome, caring, loving God. And Lord, we're going to pray in your Son's beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Were gone. I'd worked for all my life and I'd had to start again with just my family by my side. I thank my God above to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. Where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Thank you, Kathy, for your special music. Today I want to begin with two personal stories that will, I think, eventually in the message help you to begin to understand what I want to share. The first goes back to the time our daughter got engaged. She, between our sophomore and junior years of college, she went to Germany on a six-week mission trip. She came in and was going to be there at our house for a few days before going back to college for the next year. Well, in the meantime, her boyfriend, who is now her husband, Brian, flew in to get engaged. Well, we were sitting around that night talking. It's probably 9, 10 o'clock. Might have even been later. And Sarah said, "You know, I sure miss having something, and I think it was a certain candy." Said, "I couldn't get it all the time I was in Germany, and I've just missed it." Well, I'm sitting there listening to her express what she wanted. I just got up, didn't say anything, went out and got in the car, went and found a convenience store, and came back and said, "Here's what you wanted." And Brian laughs and says, "Boy, I knew I was in trouble when I saw how Dad treated his daughter. I knew I was going to have to really live up to a high example of the way she was treated, because I treated her like a princess." Thankfully, they've been married over 25 years, and he's done more than that. But the point is, I treated her special because she was at my house. And over the years, we've had numerous missionaries, preachers, singing groups, college mission teams in our house. All of them, I think, we treated as very best we could. And they definitely left fed. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to a different experience. Years and years ago, a man called me, his pastor, and he asked me if I'd come preach a revival at his church. I told him I'd be glad to, and we worked out the time and the date, and I showed up at his church to preach the revival. Well, as a lot of churches did back in those days, they did not put me in a motel. They told me I'd be staying with the pastor. I took one look at the parsonage and thought, "Are you kidding me?" A dump is a word that would describe it optimistically. Honestly, I was afraid that the roof was going to cave in if a storm came up. Well, then but the pastor couldn't help that. I mean, you know, that's where the church said he was to live, and the condition of the parsonage itself was not his problem. Well, it may have been his problem, but it was not his fault. But then he assigned me to the room of his son and put the son on the couch. And the condition of the room where the son had usually stayed was not conducive to a good night's rest or study time or anything. But that wasn't the worst of it. The worst of it, they didn't feed me. They didn't give me anything to eat. I think it was probably about Wednesday I called Pamela and told her, "Yeah, I haven't had anything to eat." Now, I had enough money to get by gas to get home, but I didn't have the money to run down to Chick-fil-A or Burger King or McDonald's. So I was just out. Pamela shared that at a prayer meeting, I think, and one of my deacons offered to mail me some money so that I have something to eat on, but I told her the time the money got there, I'd be home. So I just suffered out for a couple of more days. Now you see, in that particular home, I felt unappreciated, dishonored, disrespected, and unwanted. Now, I didn't tell those stories to make you pat me on the back for the way I treated the folks that stayed with me or treated Sarah. And I didn't tell the story to make you feel sorry for me for going a week without eating. I told the story because those two stories because I want you to go back to what we preached last Sunday. You remember last Sunday we talked about Christ in you, the hope of glory. The fact that when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, the God who spoke the universe into existence, the God who raised Christ from the dead, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who did thousands of miracles through Jesus, that God came to live within you. And we looked at a number of scriptures last week that emphasize that same thing, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if Christ truly lives in us, and because we're saved and believers, then that opens up a lot of possibilities that we mentioned. Wisdom, understanding the Bible. You know, with Christ in you and you studying the Bible and all of a sudden you're saying, well, now what does that verse mean? And he just leans over and says, well, when I had that written by Paul or John or Mark or Matthew, here's what I had in mind. And you began to understand the Bible because he's your teacher. There's wisdom in other ways just for daily life. And sometimes I don't think we as believers really come to understand how precious and how valuable that witness can be. You remember when your kids were small and they got a problem. Maybe it was a knot in a shoelace. And you say, son, you want me to help you? I'll do it, Daddy. But those little old fingers couldn't get that knot undone. And that kid worked and worked and worked, and finally, either in frustration, he threw it down and cried and said, I don't want to wear those shoes anyway. Or else, he finally said, here, Daddy, you help me. And in just a minute or two, you had it unknotted and done. How much of life do we as believers go through thinking, I'll do it myself. I'll handle this problem. I don't need any help. And finally, in our frustration, we say, Lord, would you help me? When Christ lives in us, there's wisdom. When Christ lives in us, there can be healing. Healing for ourselves, the power to administer healing to others through our prayers. When Christ lives within us, there's the power to overcome the devil. When Christ lives within us, there's protection in time of trials and trouble. But here's the kicker. All of these things that are available to us because Christ lives within us, do not come as easy as falling off a log. They come on the basis of how welcome we make Christ in us. How strongly, how powerfully God lives in you and lives in me depends upon whether or not we make him welcome. Think about it. You know, Christ can be treated as a welcome guest. He's there, he can be treated as a welcome guest. He can be treated as an unwelcome guest. I know you're here, but I really don't want to bother with you. I don't want you telling me what to do, where to go, how to live. Or he can be just sort of basically ignored, and then we call on him when we get in trouble. And that's a sad way to live. The better way to live is to make Christ a welcome guest. A welcome guest. He lives within us, but when we make him a welcome guest, things change. We're going to look for a few moments in Romans chapter 12 about making Christ a welcome guest. We also may read some verses from Ephesians, but not really comment on them a lot. But in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, first, renew your mind. We renew our mind as we feed on the Word of God, study it without preconceived ideas and notions. And it's amazing what the Lord will show us as we read and study His Word. Our mind needs to be transformed. In 1 Peter, Peter talks about girding up the loins of your mind. That's sort of a strange phrase to us today, girding up the loins of your mind. But remember when Peter wrote that, blue jeans, Levi's, had not been invented. And they wore those long flowing robes. And if a man was going to run, do a lot of hard work, or fight, before he got ready to do that, he would pull up the ends of that robe that he was wearing and stick it in the belt so that his legs were free and he didn't get entangled while he was running. I mean, nothing's worth be running pretty fast and get something between tangled up in your legs and fall flat of your face, skin your nose, and everything else. And so they girded it up. And Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. How many of us are tripped up by those loose, dangling things in our lives that keep us from running our race as a believer successfully? For some, it's pornography. Pornography keeps them, whether it's on the internet or in magazines or in movies or on TV, it keeps them all tangled up and prevents them running a successful Christian life. For some, it's anger. Unforgiveness. Hate. And it may be just one person or two people that they are angry with or that they hate or they don't forgive, but every time they try to make an advance in the Christian life, that anger and that hate and that unforgiveness tangles them up and causes them to stumble. It may be greed, covetousness, envy, all kinds of things that can trip us up. And so Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Paul says, renew your mind. You know, when we become a believer in Jesus Christ, our bodies are the same. Our minds are the same. It's down in our spirit that we're different. And so our minds have to be renewed day by day. And the more we renew our minds, the more we allow the God who lives within to exhibit His power and His glory. He also says, don't be conformed to this world. Another translation says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. All around us, the world is trying to tell us as Christians, this isn't right, You don't have to be so Puritan. You don't have to believe this, that, the other. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. And we grieve the Spirit of God if we give in. The devil's tried to convince a lot of Christians that if we become just a little more like the world, they will love us and they'll become believers. But the world is not attracted to a wishy-washy Christian. The world is not attracted to a wishy-washy Christian. I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians. And this is in the Passion Translation in the 4th chapter. And just give you Paul's take on all of this about what the world would say to us and how we really ought to live. So, with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say, you should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, sexual obsession. That is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard His truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And He's taught you to let go of that lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful pleasures that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. Be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with Him, for God has recreated you all over again in His perfect righteousness. You now belong to Him in the realm of true holiness. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth. For we all belong to one another. Don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not even for a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. If anyone has stolen from someone else, never do it again. Instead, be industrious, earning an honest living. Then you'll have enough to bless those in need. Never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. The Holy Spirit has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted His holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. Instead, be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Now, I know that was a long passage, but Paul says it better than I can. And of course, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. We are not to be conformed to the world. And if we decide to be conformed to the world, we are making the Lord feel unwelcome, unwanted in our home. Our home, that's our life. And He can't produce and do and live through us like He would like to live. And then He says, make your life a living sacrifice. Totally surrendered. Totally surrendered to doing that which you know pleases God. You know, we activate our faith to believe and to stand on God's promises through believing and accepting and obeying the promises of God. Jesus will not be dormant in our life if we live in a way that pleases him. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to be welcome in my life. Amen. I want him to be welcome in all that I am, everywhere I go. I don't want to go anywhere that he wouldn't want me to go. I don't want to do anything that he wouldn't want me to do. I want him to be Lord of my life. And I pray that that's your desire, that's your commitment, that you want Jesus Christ to be welcome. Sarah felt honored in our home. I felt dishonored when I went to preach for the revival. Jesus, we want to make honored in our home, in our life. We accept him as Lord and Savior. He comes to live within. And then, we choose to renew our mind, not compromise with the world, and be totally committed. And Jesus will begin to manifest himself in us and through us, and we'll find that we're blessed in marvelous ways, and we become a tremendous blessing to those we contact, those we touch, day by day. Father, as we bow before you today, I thank you first that Jesus lives big in us. And Lord, I want Jesus welcome in my life. And I pray that every person that's listening today will say, Jesus, I not only want you in me, I want you welcome. I want to live in such a way that you can feel comfortable and welcome in my home. And I want to live in such a way that all the marvelous power and glory and love that is in you can flow out of me to be a blessing to others. As we make that commitment, as we live out that commitment, you'll be amazed at what Jesus can do for us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.